Why do you think you, on your own, could do a better job than trained, qualified teachers whose whole job and whole career purpose is to teach the children?
Okay, this is my thinking on that.
Hello and welcome to the Property Investors Podcast. My name's Russell Leeds.
And I'm Anna Leeds.
And we're joined today by my sister, who's also one of our success coaches, Tiffany Leeds. How are you doing today?
I'm good, thank you.
Excellent. Well, no, I really appreciate you coming on. We're going to talk about a very interesting topic this week. Now, I get asked this question an awful lot. It's not necessarily property related, but it's kind of linked, which is, why do you homeschool your children? Now, I homeschool my children. Obviously, we share children, so we both do that.
Yeah.
And you were the first one, because Samuel does as well now, but Tiffany was like the... Tiffany was the leader, shall we say, of this. She was the one that did it first. So I'm going to start off, Tiffany, by asking the question, why do you homeschool your children?
So I wanted to do something a little bit different to school. And the reason for that is I don't believe that a normal school is the best place and the best environment to learn. For a start, I think that most teachers don't enjoy their job. They hate their job. So I think if you're learning from somebody and you're looking up to somebody and that person doesn't even enjoy what they're doing and is miserable, it's not really a good role model, in my opinion. And I think most people, a lot of teachers as well, the reason why they're teachers is because they went to uni to study like maths or something. And they had, you know, they thought, oh, I'll become an accountant or I'll become something in the maths field. And then they don't quite make it and they end up being a teacher.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, I think a lot of teachers aim to be a teacher.
Do you think?
I think so. My issue with it more so is that anyone that's a teacher basically has never left education.
Yeah.
So they've gone to school, then they've gone to college, then they've gone to university, then they've gone back to school, but now as a teacher. So their whole world is in education. That's all they know.
Yeah.
And then they're teaching our kids. So that's one way, which is going through education, great, but they've got no life experience. They don't even know about climbing the corporate ladder normally. I mean, you might get some teachers that do, but most teachers go into it quite young and then stay in teaching, don't they?
Yeah. I do think Tiffany's right. I know 6 or 7 teachers, all who absolutely hate teaching. I don't know many teachers that will go, this is my passion, I just love teaching.
And the thing is,
do you know what though? I think they do love teaching, I think they hate the system.
Yeah.
Yes, I agree.
I agree with that. But I think as well, if you've got a class of 30 children, it's a really difficult job to teach them. And then if you've got kids there that don't actually want to be there, don't want to learn, they've got problems at home maybe, there's other issues, social issues going on in the classroom, it's just such an impossible job. And I think
it is an impossible job. Yeah. Like if I said to you, you've got to teach, you've got, how old's Austin?
8.
So you've got Austin, you've got to teach him how to, I don't know, name anything you might teach him how to do.
I'll ride a bike.
Ride a bike. You've got to teach him how to ride a bike. Now you'd be thinking, okay, I'll take him out, I'll show him how to ride a bike. But if I said to you, oh, but at the same time, you've got to teach 30 other kids to ride a bike on your own, which would be chaos, wouldn't it?
Yeah, and some of them don't want to. Like,
riding a bike's fun. Yeah. Imagine if it's something boring.
You've
got to teach 30 kids
this
boring thing at the same time. The amount of teachers that I've heard say, like, because we've known about a lot of teachers, we're friends with a lot of teachers, and they'll be like, oh yeah, you know, an hour lesson, you might do 5 minutes of teaching.
Yeah.
It's like, wow. So you wonder why we can homeschool our kids and we can teach them the same stuff in
a fraction of the time.
8 hours a week.
And also, if you've got a child, right, that is interested in certain things, like they are interested in sports, riding the bikes, this sort of thing, you can tailor it to that.
Yeah.
And then when there are things that you think, no, actually, you do need to learn this, it's critical that you learn it. And they're reluctant. At least you've only got one reluctant.
All
or max 3
yeah,
reluctant.
Yeah. All right, so let's look at the pros then. So far, you only, what real pro, I suppose, is that you want to do something a bit different. It's nothing compelling.
It's not even that about I want to do something different. It's just I don't see that the school system is the best thing. Looking for an alternative.
Let me argue with you.
Go on.
Let's play, because obviously I actually agree with you because we homeschool our kids, but let me argue with you from the other perspective. All right, so first thing is, if the school does educate the children, doesn't it, to a high level?
Well,
99.9% of people go to school, normal school, and they get educated going to school. So why do you think you, on your own, could do a better job than trained, qualified teachers whose whole job and whole career mm-hmm. and purpose is to teach the children.
Okay, this is my thinking on that. So initially, when I set out to home educate, I wasn't convinced I would be able to get them as good qualifications as what school could do. That, to me, was a downside. Like, I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to do that. But what I am sure of is when you look at the type of children, the majority of children that are being produced by schools, most of them are depressed, anxious, they're not confident, they can't...
Most kids are depressed, you think?
Well, when I look at kids, like 13, 14-year-olds, and you're just trying to have a normal conversation with them, not everyone, but a lot of kids, like, you speak to them, and they're just... They're just like little kids. They're all insecure. They're like all timid. They don't seem to have, like Kane, he's 16. He's not like that. But I mean, he's an anomaly, isn't he? Most schools.
But he didn't do well at school.
No, he didn't. He didn't do well at school. But most young children that I see in schools, I just don't look at them and think, wow, I'd love my kids to be like that when they grow up. Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
So, okay, they might have passed their GCSEs, but looking at them, do they look like... So when I had a little look around this school that seemed like a really lovely school in the Peak District, low classes, numbers and whatever, and they were saying, you know, these are our ratings, the children that leave the school, these are the what kind of qualifications we get and what levels, etc. But yeah, I just think I'd rather... my child be happy, confident, disciplined, entrepreneurial. They're more my values than...
Okay. So GCSEs. You think that they could educate them to a good level at GCSEs, but you're worried about what their mental health, their mental state?
Well, yeah, I think that has massively gone up. If you actually look to the stats, I'm not going to do it right now, but mental health in young children is insane at the moment.
I'll give you an example. My kids go... Not anymore. Partly, this is part of the reason why they don't. But I was going to the gym and they were being left in a little gym class thing where they do like sports and that sort of thing while I work out. And the one day I went to go and drop the kids off in the gym and I thought, oh, it's not on because it's in pitch black darkness. And then it was on and they opened the door and all of the kids were sat in silence on the floor, like in isolation with their eyes shut with this eerie music on in the dark. And I was like, what the hell? And I said, what are they doing? And they were like, oh, they're meditating. And I was like, meditating on what? Like, what's the point of this? And they said, oh, it's mental health awareness because we just want to make them aware of the children that commit suicide and that in schools and things. And I was like, my youngest at the time was 3. And I thought, he didn't need to know anything about that. What the hell? Yeah. Why are you even putting that idea into their head?
I do think that they teach certain stuff too early.
Yeah, and I said to them, I said, well, I don't mind doing that. I said, so can they do a different activity? Because that's really weird. And they were like, no, they have to do this for mental health awareness. And
also, what else could they do? It's pitch black.
Wow, I don't know, but they're not doing that. That's just weird. Also, I think a lot of the values and the mindset that's being taught in school is just against everything, I think. Even, like, in competition, and it's, like, your participation trophy. I'm just not about any... Like, there's just so much stuff at school, the mindset that's being taught, and it's being taught from teachers who aren't happy in their job. They're not contented people. I don't like... And I think I'm a big believer in you are who you hang around with, and you are... going to end up like the people that you're surrounded with. And as a child in a school with a big classroom, you can't help who you're forced to hang around with. So even if some of the kids are nice, there's still going to be that big influence of
the
other children.
What about this then? I get that. Okay, so our first point is that I suppose potentially some of the stuff that they learn isn't the best. Well, what about the fact that it's a great place to make friends?
Is it?
Well, you can't deny. I mean, do you still know people you went to school with?
Yeah, it can be. But also, we pulled our daughter out because she got bullied. at a very young age at school. So I think you can make friends at school, of course you can. But I think you also can have real problems in school. There's loads of children. You're not always going to have a perfect, oh, 30 kids and everyone's nice and everyone's... You're always going to have, I think, if anything, you're more likely to... Most kids are bullied at some point during school.
Or become a bully.
Yeah.
Well, and I think if my kid was being bullied at school, I would... I'd hate that so much. But then equally, I wouldn't want them to become a bully either, because that's...
If you had to pick, what would you pick? Bully or bullied?
I wouldn't want them to be a bully at all, because I think the type of person... A bully picks on people who are vulnerable, don't they? If my kid was beating up kids that were bullies, I wouldn't mind that. But not, I wouldn't want them to be a bully because I'm vulnerable.
It's an impossible question to answer, isn't it?
Yeah,
both are awful. Okay, so you've got the bullying. Well, I tell you what, one of my biggest gripes with school, you touched on it a little bit, but is the lack of what they teach.
Yeah.
It's kind of so... It's programmed to be... to create good workers. You know, school was created years and years and years ago. It hasn't changed much in all that time. It's like, get good grades, get good at maths, get good at English, not real life practical skills. They don't teach sales. They don't teach marketing. They don't teach entrepreneurship. They don't teach money management. They don't teach money in general. You don't learn how to buy property. You don't learn how to do stocks and shares. You don't learn about cryptocurrency. All these important things get neglected, and instead... you're learning about the Roman Empire, which is great. We do get our kids to learn that. But I think there's a massive chunk of education, real life skills, that is missed.
You know what, though? I think it's even worse now than it used to be, because I think the system back in the day did used to work. You'd go to school, you were told to go to uni, and then you'd get a high-end job. No, it's not entrepreneurial. It's not, but you'd get where you wanted to be. That doesn't actually work anymore. These kids... go to school, go to uni, and then end up in a bog basic job because they can't get a job. And that actually, for most people, doesn't even work anymore. Like, for the people that do go down that route, it's actually just, you're just led down a path to most people fail anyway. And I think not only are they missing all the entrepreneurial side, but even if you do go, you're likely to fail anyway, even if you follow their...
That's a good point. Like Samuel always says, doesn't he? He's like, people said to him, oh, why are you investing in property? Like, it's a scam. You shouldn't be doing that. And what are you doing? Oh, I'm going to university. To study what? Drama. And he's like, nah, they're a very dramatic McDonald's worker.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, yeah, great, sweet drama, but you'd better... I think the trade route works quite well. Do you know the people that, like... go to college, you know, go to school.
And then do practical college.
Go to college to learn to be a builder, an electrician or something. I do think that is
the apprenticeship model.
Do you know what I think?
I'm more bothered because people have asked me a few times, like, what curriculum are you following? How are you doing? What are you teaching them? And that sort of thing. I'm a big believer that if you are a literate person, if you can read something and then comprehend it, and you can articulate yourself, if you can read and understand, you can teach yourself anything. You can go and learn anything. You can be an adult and then go and learn about property. You know, you don't have to go to school from the age of this to this to be qualified in it.
But how good would it be if you were 16 and you knew all those topics already?
Yeah.
It would be such a Lego, wouldn't it?
Of course it would, but do you know what I think? I think if you give someone the basic skills to learn so that they can learn anything, and then you also instill in them a confidence that you can be anything you want to be, and also reinforce that by, say, for example, if they're interested in football, and you go, okay, then, let's really push that. You can go and do football 3 times a week. Let's practice. Let's get the garden set up for that. Let's really push it. And then let them excel in it. And then they can think for themselves, do you know what? I can become good at something if I put my mind to it. And then if they get another idea, I'd like to do this. And then you push that. And then they start to believe in themselves and believe that they're a capable person that can do what they put their mind to do. So then if they become an adult and think, actually, I'd like to be a doctor, they're not going to have that thinking of, oh, I could never do it. because they've been brought up to think, well, I can do anything. If I work hard enough and I put my mind to it, of course I could do it if I want to.
And you can actually teach them that point. Like, we just recently got our kids to do a course. Have you read the book called Bounce by Matthew Saeed?
I listened to it while I was running my marathon on podcast.
It's a good book, isn't it? Mm. So he's done, I don't know if you might want to get this for your kids, we've bought it, but he's done like a course based on that book, but for kids, teaching them basically the same principles that are in Bounce, kind of stuff you were just mentioning now. If you put the work and effort into anything, you can become good at it. Into a course, so we've just got our kids to do that. And it's like, that's the sort of stuff I love about homeschooling. It's like, I've studied this, I think it's great, I can now do it yourself, like you do, pass it on to our tutor, like we do, and then go and get them to study the exact thing that I want them to study. It's that control over it as well. Because my big issues, the two big issues with public schools, even private schools, the schooling system, is number one, the stuff that they teach, which you mentioned. And then number two is the stuff that they do teach, or the stuff that is taught. Yeah. Not necessarily the teacher, but the stuff they pick up from the kids. They're all doing drugs. They're all having sex at 14, 15, 16. Is that environment where they're learning stuff? Some of the stuff is what is in the curriculum as well that I'm not a big fan of. Like some of the sex education stuff at the age that they teach it, it's like, why are you telling them that?
Well, it's getting younger and younger.
That's what I was saying about the mental health thing. If you say to a child, oh, we're going to sit down in the dark with this eerie music and think about children that kill themselves. What?
Yeah.
That wouldn't have been, I said, you can do that with your children, but mine are quite happy, thank you. And I feel like, I said, can't mine do a different activity? And they said, can they just sit in the dark, in the corner, colouring, right? And they said, no, because if yours do that, they'll all want to do it. I said, well, doesn't that tell you something about how crap your activity is?
Yeah. And also, I totally agree with you on that. The sex education stuff, but also like, things like having children in the class, and this happens like even here, like at Luke had it, having children in the class who identify as a cat.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like,
that happened in Luke's school.
I don't know what they're identifying as, but something like that. Yeah.
It was so weird.
I know. It is weird, isn't it?
So weird.
It's like, why would
I heard about a school in London that had a child that identified as a cow, and the teachers would let it go out to graze.
See,
it's ridiculous, isn't it? I mean, that was never entered my head when I home educated, because I didn't even know that happened. But, yeah.
Well, we weren't happy at the first school Sienna went to.
Now, bear in mind, she's three.
She's three, and they had up. And it was the Church of England school.
Four.
Were like, oh, off you go. And then she came back, and there was a massive wall plastered over the school of every different combination of couple you could have. Mm. So it was like, mom and mom's new boyfriend. And I'm thinking, really? Do we need to
and mom's new girlfriend.
Yeah, and it was like, do we really have to go through every... They're three.
Dad and dad. It's like, why are you telling them about that? Like,
at three.
Oh, what about if one of the parents... All right.
They don't need to know every situation of every...
Is there any? No. Shut up then. she's three or four. Do you know what I mean?
And then it confused her. It confuses children, doesn't it? That's my biggest thing.
You're right, it's planting seeds. They plant loads of seeds. Yeah. It's very, very sort of liberal. It feels it anyway, you know, from my point of view. Very anti.
Very victim mentality as well. That's one of my issues, not even what you were just talking about, which of course I agree with you, but I think it's very victim mentality, very, it's all right for some people, you know, and I think that's not the kind of mentality that I want my children to grow up with.
All right, so let's say you're sold then, you're listening to this and going, yeah, you're right, they do miss out a lot of key stuff. You're right as well, they also teach a lot of stuff that's not ideal, that's not great. They also have a real problem when they hit teenage years with drugs and depression and mental health issues, and it's all brought on by the environment. You're probably right. A lot of these issues, we can see they exist, but there are a few problems, right? So number one, school is basically like free childcare, isn't it?
Yeah.
So if you decide to homeschool, you've got two choices, which you guys do, the two options. So you do it yourself, pretty much, and you hire a tutor
to
run most of the lessons and stuff. So what are the pros and cons? If someone's watching this thinking, I quite like the idea of it, but I don't have time, or maybe I don't have the money, because it is a big commitment.
Mm-hmm.
If you're doing it either way, if you pay a tutor, you've got to pay a tutor's salary.
Yeah.
If you're doing it yourself, like you do, basically you can't work.
Yeah.
You know, I know you do a bit, but you're kind of sacrificing.
There's definitely a sacrifice to it.
There is a sacrifice
of that, because that's why kids now go from 7:30 in the morning till 6 at night. Again, that is just ridiculous. But I get it. People do it for childcare
because they can't. They have to work, don't they?
I feel very fortunate that we're in the position that we can do it. We're all in the position where we actually can. Because some people haven't, which they'd like to.
Well, that's the beautiful thing about property. If you become financially free through property, it gives you time, it gives you money. It's like, that's why we do the Property Investors Podcast.
Yeah.
Right? It makes it easy for you, doesn't it?
It makes it much easier. So if you are interested, I think property is a great vehicle to give you the opportunity, if it's important to you, to do this.
Yeah.
I suppose it's what you want to spend your money on. But tell us a bit about homeschooling yourself. What does your schedule look like? How does it work? Pros,
cons? So it's changed from when I began, because my kids have never been to school. So I started with Austin when he was 4, and then it's very much changed. When I lived in the Peak District, I think I had to put a lot more energy and work into doing everything myself. So as the time's gone on, and I've been a bit better off financially, I'm now able to kind of outsource bits. So they do quite a lot of groups. At the moment, they do a lot of fighting. They do boxing, kung fu, judo. I think they do another one as well, but I can't remember. MMA.
MMA, boxing, kung fu, and judo.
Yeah.
Man, you're going to train. You're going to have like little badasses on you. They'll definitely be the bullies. They get bullied of all that.
They also do football, swimming, art, drama. Just to bring the balance a little bit with the art and drama.
Ballet.
No.
No.
But yeah, so when they're doing these groups, though, it gives me a chance to kind of relax a little bit, you know.
Are you worried about some of the negatives of school with the other kids and stuff in these groups?
Like, no, because this is my theory, right? I see a child as like an oak tree. So when you plant the seed, it's small, you've got to water it, the little stick, you might put a little stick in so that it's got something to keep the strength in, and you've got to tend to it. But then as it gets bigger and older, eventually you can just leave it in the field, and whether there's a storm, rain, whatever there is, it can just stand firm on its own. So I don't think homeschooling or home educating, whatever you want to call it, is about muddy coddling them and making this perfect little bubble and environment so that they're safe from the big bad world. That isn't my idea of it anyway. My idea of it is that you nurture them and you instill your values into them, your mindset into them, but eventually you do want them to be able to be in the world and, you know, be okay. So when they go to these groups, I'm usually watching anyway, and then B, it's so easy to just go, right, they're not going to that group anymore. But what will normally happen, let's say there's an issue at one of the groups, whether it's a class where it's structured or if it's more of a social group. If there is an issue at one of the groups, I can see what's going on, so I can kind of tell them, right, this is what I would do, this is what I would say. I can advocate for them.
This is how you choke them.
Yeah.
Right. This is how when he comes over, that's how you punch him in the face. That sort of thing.
But do you know what I mean? So I know what's going on in their life, and then I can kind of tell them, right, this is how to handle this situation.
You can sort of mentor them, advise them through it, rather than just being there at school isolated.
So we went to this one group, and it was about a 40-minute drive away, and there was a situation there that Austin wasn't happy about. And when we got in the car, he says, I'm never going back there again. I said, why not? And he was like, this kid was really horrible to me, this is what happened, blah blah blah. Now, as it happened, I didn't want to go back there either, because it was quite far away and I didn't think it was that great of a group. But because he said that, I said, we're going back next week and this is what I want you to do. And I wanted him to handle the situation. Now, if he couldn't have handled it, then I could have gone, okay, he's not quite old enough, he's not quite mature enough, let's leave it for now. And then when he's a bit more advanced, a bit older, a bit more mature, we can go back again, or we'll probably be in another situation where he might be able to handle it.
So you actually deliberately put him in slightly awkward situations and teach him to deal with it.
Yeah.
But as he's
ready. I said to him, this is what you need to do. We rehearsed it. And I
said, what was it, out of interest?
Oh, I can't exactly remember. Oh, I do remember. They were playing football and he was about 7 and there was a girl there that was about 13. 11, something like that. And he's a good little footballer, but he was playing with all of these older kids. And whenever he took a shot and say if it missed, she'd like sarcastically clap and be like, and then like make little digs at him, and she was like barging him around a little bit and just being a bit of a bully to him, and so he wasn't happy. So I said to him, and he said to me, if she was a boy, I could have hit her. And he was like, but I didn't know what to do. She wasn't pushing me. She wasn't being physical with me. She was just, it was what she was saying, so I didn't know how to handle it. So I said to him, next time we're going to go again, and when she starts saying things like this to you, ask her how old she is, and she'll tell you, because she was a lot older. And then you say, well, I'm 7. Do you enjoy picking on little kids, do you? Does it make you feel big? Does it make you feel good about yourself? I said, if you say that to her, it'll probably just embarrass her, and she won't say anything else. I said, if she does, come back to me. I said, but I'm not going to be in the room, though. I want you to handle it and deal with it on your own, because otherwise, if I go in and say something, as soon as I'm not there, she'll start doing it again.
And what did he say that?
So we went back and she wasn't there.
Man.
We were like, oh, what happened?
You got to change that story, mate. In the story, she was there and he said it and she went off crying. That's the actual end. That's the way you do it, sort of running it from home. You run the lessons at home. How have you found having a tutor versus school?
The reason I went down that route is just because, obviously, during COVID, we did it. Well, I did it myself with Sienna. I liked it in one way, but I feel like I just wanted to be the fun mom. I feel like with Sienna, I clashed a little bit. Like, she started becoming a bit like, oh no, it's you and doing schoolwork again. And I just thought,
it's you trying to be fun again.
Yeah, exactly. And I thought, if this is now going to be long term, I don't want that relationship with her. I also work, so I was concerned about, well, would I have any time to work if I fully 100% was also the teacher? And so I thought for us, it was a nice option. And they don't go that much. We say we have a tutor, and people might assume we mean 5 days a week. But as we said earlier, that's very unnecessary.
Yeah, I do 3, but a lot of it's...
But only recently.
Yeah,
they've you should used be two. To do 2. And they get everything covered in 2 days. And then the other 3 days, I do all sorts with them. But then I get to do the fun stuff, like taking them to museums and having fun days out with them.
Oh, you're a blast, you are.
You went go-karting yesterday, Anna.
Yeah, exactly. I've laid down that. So I'm the one that goes on a Monday.
We do jigsaw puzzles together.
Let's just go to the theme park. Yeah. And I'm like, come on, off we go. We'll go Legoland. And
I know what you mean, though. A lot of it is educational. I've taken them, yeah. And it is fun. National History Museum, they really enjoyed, didn't they?
Yeah, I try, and I don't know, I think I could have done it, but I wanted it to work for us, and I didn't want to 100% give up on work. I'm very much prepared to work part-time, and I love having the other days when they're around, but I thought, I also thought for me personally, I didn't want the stress of, I agree with what Tiff was saying about, they don't need to, don't have to teach them every single subject to really high standards, but you've kind of got to get maths, English, you know, your basics.
Yeah, your core.
And not that I don't think I'm capable, but I just thought I didn't personally want that pressure of trying to check, are they up to standard? Are they, oh gosh, am I failing them? Are they not as good as they should be? I personally wanted to pass that stress off.
Yeah.
And think,
so tutor comes in and does the core subjects. Yeah. You do the fun and maybe some... Like, to tell you one of the things we're doing with our kids right now, Tiff, I think you'll like this.
Mm-hmm.
So do you do any investment or money management stuff for yours?
A little bit, yeah.
What do you do?
This is where I'm going to pass them to you and Samuel. When they're a little bit older, I'm going to be like, go on. Well, they both have a little job. So they are football coaches for Jessica and Isaac.
Oh, that's
so
really
they
cute.
Do that. And they also, they earn money by achieving great things. So Eddie was struggling with his reading. So I set him a challenge that if he could learn to read in 3 months from, he was like on level 1. And I said, if you can get to level 5, which is a pretty decent level, you can have £100.
Nice.
So, and Austin had a challenge as well with his times tables. So they have ways of earning money.
Yeah.
And then they also have a little job. But I don't really teach them so much at the moment.
Well, to be honest, how old's Austin? He's the same as Emily, so eight. I mean, they're all still quite young yet, yeah, aren't they? And I think as they get older, we'll probably move more into teaching them about money management. Like, we've got, we're going to get ours to crew at some of our events when they're a bit older.
Mm, yeah, that's a good
and
idea.
And I think things like that, being able to give them that opportunity, and they've got that freedom because they're not at school every day.
Mm-hmm.
And like you say, we obviously ours all meet up now on a Thursday, and we're saying some of the lessons we can all share our own skills.
Yeah.
Like, we are desperate for ours to eventually set up their own shop online, just so they learn how to
set up their own business and stuff like that. It's one of the things we want to definitely do. But what I've got them doing at the moment is we've got them, so we give them pocket money, but we make them invest a proportion of it into stocks and shares.
Mm-hmm.
So I've taught them about the S&P 500 and how it's the top 500 companies in America, companies that they know and like Disney, Amazon, Google, stuff that they're aware of. It's like, look, you own now a tiny little bit of all these companies, and when they make money or go up in value, you get paid. So they're like buying stocks with their stuff. It's got a junior ISA account, so it's all tax-free money, and they can't take it out either. So once the money goes in, it's stuck there till they're 18,
mm-hmm,
but it's going up in value. So I think they made about 180 quid last year in interest. It's not like earth-shattering amounts of money, but I'm just trying, I want them to get in the habit and the mindset of when you get money in, you make your, I'm teaching you, make your money work for you.
Mm-hmm.
You don't work for money, you make your money work for you.
Let them invest in one of your property deals, didn't you? I mean, it wasn't much, but you gave them a return.
I was buying a property and I said, look, you know, it's I'm putting in 100 grand. If you want to contribute anything, I'll give you the same ROI that I get. So they both put in about, I don't know, 50 quid or something. And I gave them like 10% return when I refinanced it on their money. So just getting them in the habit of not spending everything.
I'm gonna send my boys to school, Russell.
Yeah, it's quite cool though. They've got their little Vanguard account set up, and they'll go, "Oh, Dad, how much money have I got in my junior ISA?"
Yeah,
that's cute.
We'll go on and show them. So obviously, property they can't really do yet because.
But money management, so many people fail in life financially because they've got no money management, and they don't teach it in schools. And you do. We got married really young, out on our own, out on a whim. We didn't have a clue, did we? We were just like, ooh, like, now we've got to pay all these bills and we've got... And you're so unaware. You just go and suddenly it's all like, oh, I've got to pay bills. Oh, I've got to save. If you're an entrepreneur, oh, I've got to pay tax. Like, you just don't learn any of that at school. Yet you learn, like you say, the really in-depth history.
It's crazy they don't teach you how to work out your tax returns, isn't it?
Yeah, insane.
I suppose it's because they think you're going to get a job and it's going to get worked out for you.
Yeah.
Do you know what made me laugh? So one of the kids that comes to our little group, you know, Connor.
Mm.
Yeah.
So he said he read Samuel's new book and he's 10. And he said he was online looking for jobs for 10-year-olds. And he was like, there's no jobs for 10-year-olds. Oh, this is so annoying. And he goes, I'm not being funny, but when I'm older, I'm not going to be a bum like Sean. That's his 16-year-old brother. And he's like, he's 16 and he hasn't even got a job. But he's actually at college studying business. Like, he's not a bum at all, but he's not going to be a bum like Sean, no job at 16.
Fair play to him, though. Because I don't think ours would read that.
No, I don't know.
He's always been very interested in property, though.
I think homeschooling's great from this age. But I think as they get older, it's going to
get exciting,
even more exciting, even better. It's going to get even more important because they're the ages. I actually think we sent our kids to normal, well, I say normal, it was a private school, but to the school system until what age? Eight, Sienna?
Yeah.
Eight and seven. Yeah. Seven and eight. And I think that was okay. I think that there wasn't, I don't feel like much bad happened. Primary school, what really worried me was high school.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That was always the plan.
Yeah.
Not send them to high school, take them out before then. But then Sienna had problems with some of the girls there and stuff, and we're like, let's just take them out now. It started now. What the hell? But yeah, I think high school's really important. So, but I think the older they get, the more important, the more exciting, the more stuff that you can teach them, the more jobs you can give them to do. Now, Tiffany, thank you very much for coming on the show.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
Guys, hope you enjoyed this week's show. Remember, if you want to learn about property investing, set yourself up so you can be financially free and make decisions like homeschooling your children or whatever it is that you want to do, check out the Property Investors Crash Course. You can get tickets right now for just £1. So I cannot wait to see you there. Thanks for listening to the show, and we'll see you next week.